Where do the wars and fights among you come from? James talks about that. Friendship with the world. You know what that leads to? James wants you to know. The devil's presence and his fight against you is real. James talked about that. If you want God to get closer to you, if you have a grand plan for your entire life, or if you are prone to criticize, join us today because we're going to tackle all that and more from the book of James, chapter 4. If you have a Bible, play the home game. Get it now. Go to James in the New Testament, back toward the back of it. And if you go to Revelation, you've gone too far. That's straight ahead as we welcome author, teacher, pastor, husband, father, world traveler, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Today on Chris Fabry Live, great to have you with us for the continuing education. This is the Back Fence Institute for Biblical Renewal. I'm Chris Fabry, facilitator and spectator. Also helping out our adjunct faculty members, Ryan McConaughey. Papillon Papendick is with us. Vivi, the magnificent adjunct faculty member. You can find us online at chrisfabrylive.org. There is no diploma. Our courses are uncredited, but each day we make a deposit into your life. We're going to talk with Dr. Pritchard here in just a minute. But before we do that, let me go ahead and read James chapter 4, because in the last few months, we've had Ray on and we've had this conversation about, let's just talk about what the Bible says and react to it. And Ray said that this book of James is basically a letter to those of us in the 21st century. It was written in the first century, but it's also, as we read it, we can look at it through the prism of our time as well. So let me go to James chapter 4. I'll read this, and then we'll get him to respond to that. I have to read in context, though, because James didn't sit down and say chapter 1, brothers and sisters, and chapter 2, and then chapter 3. It's all one letter. So at the end of chapter 3, he asks, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is pure, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So James has said that. That's at the end of chapter 3, and then we go to chapter 4. Because if you just jump into chapter 4, And you read, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? You're thinking, wait a minute, what? What is he? He's just said, the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And he's talked about jealousy and selfish ambition. So chapter 4. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight a quarrel. You fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and moan and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it. Isn't technology great? You can invite a friend to listen to this conversation. Share it on social media. Spread the word and the encouragement you find at the Radio Backyard Fence.
And to bless through you.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's Quick Word. For an in-depth weekly lesson with Beth, go to BethMoore.org/online. That's BethMoore.org/online. And be sure to check out the special offer Beth has for you this month. Thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Through the miracle of technology now, we bring you Dr. Ray Pritchard, president of Keep Believing Ministries, author of a number of books where you can see our featured resource and anchor for the soul at ChrisFabryLive.org. He has traveled extensively, ministered overseas in China, Bolivia, Colombia, Paraguay, Belize, Haiti, Nigeria, Switzerland, South Korea was one place, Russia, India. I mean, we could keep on going. Dr. Pritchard, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Hey, Chris, good to be with you. I am doing really good, really good. It's a little warm here in Dallas, but, you know, it's July, so there you go.
Right. Be expected. I really want to jump into this, but sure. In a former conversation that we'd had, your son was struggling physically. I think we heard later on that he was doing well, you know, a month later. Today, doing all right?
He is doing just fine. There's a little bit of a scare there, and they diagnosed it as, I thought, maybe a heart problems at first, but looks like it was pleurisy. And that was, you know, since then he's gone to South Korea himself to minister and come back. And
is
so,
really?
Yeah, doing good. So thank you very much for asking and grateful.
How's
to
Marlene? How's Marlene doing?
Oh, she is doing just great. In fact, we just got back from a trip to Kentucky where I was ministering at a Bible conference there in Emelina, Kentucky, in Southeast Kentucky. And so she's doing good.
Where is Emelina? What's that near?
Well, way out there in the hills near Fisty and near Topmost and near Dwarf. And, you know, it's in the mountains of Southeast Kentucky. They have some fun place names there. Just basically just keep going into the mountains as far as you can go. Not that far from Pikeville. And
okay.
East of Hazard.
Pikeville.
Yeah, close to Pikeville.
I was just reading about Pikeville this morning because Pikeville is where they took, you know, when they had the Hatfields and McCoys, I'm from the other side of the river there.
Right.
When they
right.
had the Hatfields and McCoys thing, they took into Pikeville to try a bunch of the guys. Hanged one of the fellows there in Pikeville.
Okay.
And so that you could tell some of the stuff that I've been reading here lately.
Right.
But that's just a gorgeous area of the country, and I'm glad that you got to go there. Okay. So here's my first question about James, what I just read. And I gave some of the context, the end of chapter 3, and then I read chapter 4. Is he really talking to Christians, Jesus followers, to real believers when he says this hard stuff?
You know, if we want to take the Bible the way it comes, we have to answer yes, right? He says earlier in the book, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. That's James 2, verse 1. He says, my brothers, you are believers in Jesus Christ. So when you get to this is a difficult section. Not so much that, there's one or two verses that are really challenging, but the message of it, the thought, Chris, that you could be, you know, a Bible-believing, conservative, evangelical Christian, go to church, give your money, sing in the choir, you know, send your kids to one and all that, and still be a spiritual adulterer. Oh, wow. Mm. You know, if you can read this and not feel bothered about your own life, you're probably not doing it right, you know?
Yeah.
This is a passage about selfish ambition and about this envy problem. I think this passage is the key to understanding basically every church split that's ever happened, the ugliness inside some local assemblies, and breaking up of friendships, and people who ought to know better saying and doing awful things. And James says, you know, the problem is, what's the source of all this fighting, fussing, and feuding? It's not out there. It's not in politics and economics. It's not in the White House. It's not world problems. Goodness knows we've got enough problems in the world. But every time I read James, I hear him just slapping me, saying, Ray, wake up, open your eyes, look in the mirror, buddy. You know, the problem, you know, I have seen the problem. It's us. It's me.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. And those who don't learn from history are going to repeat it. And that, I see that happening. You know, this is kind of what we've been talking about ever since we started this program, Ray. And that is, anytime I point a finger out there, I got three of them pointing back at me. There are problems out there. And I've got a friend who's trying to lead a church and not, you know, have it go the way of all flesh. And I talked with him the other day, and he said, you know, I honestly don't think it's going to make it. There's too much division. A lot of problems stem from money issues that are, you know, kind of left over from time and time again. And so you see the quarrels and the conflicts here, and anybody who spent any amount of time in a church knows what that's all about. You know, it may have looked a little bit different in the first century, but we have it with us today. So I guess the question really is, why, if God's Spirit is really working in us, why don't we learn from this? Why don't we change?
You know, he says in the first verse of James 4, he says, what's the source of wars and fightings among you? And then he kind of answers his own question. Is it not the passions, and he says, that wage war within you? This, in a way, this, you know, people try to put James and Paul up against each other, but really they're just coming to the same truth from slightly different perspectives. But really what Paul talks about in Romans 7, you know, that which I want to do, I don't do, and the stuff I hate, I keep on doing it over and over again. And James is saying, well, it's the same thing here. You've got passions and desires inside of you, and they're at war within you. And he says, really, he calls it, well, you know, some versions say coveting. I think one version says jealousy. Another says envy. Now, I was thinking about that. You know, of all the sins of the, you know, the historical, the seven deadly sins.
Right.
I think the one in 45, almost 50 years of ministry, I think I can count on the fingers of one hand the number of times anybody's ever said to me, Pastor Ray, I'm struggling with envy. You could get a group of guys together, and one guy says, you know, I'm really struggling with lust. And everybody goes, we all nod our head and go, okay, we know about that. You know, I got anger issues, and we all understand that. This money thing is really getting to me. We understand that. Nobody even wants to confess the sin that James is really talking about here, because it's an ugly kind of sin. It's this green-eyed monster, this jaundice of the soul. James is saying, if you let covetousness, if you let envy, if you let jealousy take root in your heart, it will cloud, it will besmirch. It's an ugly sin. And because it's such an ugly sin, it's the sin really that nobody will confess. And yet you read, you know, the end of James 3, and you got it here in James 4, envy and selfish ambition. He calls it earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, that it is a hellish sin. And what I'm saying, Chris, let's just say it again. Folks, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Ray Pritchard. I'm talking about me. And if I think anything else when I read this, I've missed the point. I mean, every time I read James, I want to go, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Because this is a difficult sin. It's difficult to spot in yourself, and it's difficult. Oh, okay, hey, let me give you an illustration. Let me tell you what I was doing this morning, Chris. Something I've never done in my whole life. I don't know why, just never got around to it. I spent about 6 hours so far today power washing the deck in our backyard. Marlene and I got up early, went over to Home Depot. I rented one of those power washers. I couldn't figure out how to make it work. I plugged it in and nothing happened. And, you know, but all of a sudden, boom, then the water comes out, you know, and it's you can't put your hand in front of it because the water's coming out so fast. But I started, here's the crazy thing. You know, I thought our deck looked pretty good. But when I put the power washer on it, the gunk that wouldn't, I had no idea there was as much gunk on the backyard of our deck. And now, hours later, it's looking pretty good. And so tomorrow, you know, or next day, we're going to stain it. And I was thinking about this interview you and I were going to have. I just meditating while I was power washing in the heat. And it kind of hit me. There are some sins that are surface sins, and there's some sins that are so deep within that we need the power washing of the Holy Spirit. Or we're never going to get rid of them. And I really think envy and jealousy and covetous, this illicit desire on the inside, a surface scrub of the soul isn't going to do it. That's why he says, you know, later, wash your hands, you sinners, you know, weep and wail and mourn. That this kind of sin of envy, you need the Holy Spirit to come and do some power washing, because a surface, you know, a quick confession isn't going to get it done. We need the Holy Spirit to come and do some scrubbing on the inside. There's more gunk in our soul than we realize.
Well, this is why we continually come back to the gospel. Because if you don't come back to the gospel, then you start to have this inflated view of yourself and what God has done for you. So if we really believe what we say, that the ground is leveled for the cross, we are all sinners, and I believe that in my head. But in my heart, I can think, yeah, but, you know, my life is, I do a little bit more good than so-and-so down the road. And look how much better I am than them. And then I start comparing myself with, you know, the success of somebody else. And why don't I have that? And then the envy creeps in there. We have to come back to the gospel. The gospel will give us a baseline of humility that says none of us deserves to be forgiven. We all deserve eternal separation, right?
You know, he says in here, but he gives more grace. Good. But he only gives grace to people who humble themselves. As long as you are proud, as long as you are so proud that you feel free to criticize God. Because let's understand, folks, when you are envying, it's not that other person you're really angry with. You are really upset with God because you think the creator of the universe shortchanged you somehow, and he's not. You know, he stacked the deck against you. As long as you have that attitude toward God, you are truly a spiritual adulterer, even though you may go to church every single Sunday morning. And so, folks, as I say, it doesn't bother me about you. It bothers me about me. That's a really scary thing, because I can get it's pretty easy, Chris, to get discontented. You can look at other people, other things, look at your own life. You can find 1,000 excuses or reasons to think God should have done something differently. But if we will ever just humble ourselves and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I don't even, like the psalmist said, cleanse me from hidden sins, I don't even know how messed up I really am, then James 4 comes true. He will give more grace. If we ever dare to humble ourselves, he will lift us up.
And that's why I say to anybody who looks at Christianity as, well, as soon as I can figure out how to do some good stuff for God, then I'll start to believe or come to your church, that type of thing. No, the truth about Christianity is none of us deserves grace. None of us is righteous. No, not one. And so we need his forgiveness. He gives that to us. And so we can't boast about any of that. There's nothing about this that we can say, oh, you know, I'm such a great person. God's the one who's working in there. So don't stay away from the church because there are quarrels and conflicts. In a sense, the quarrels and conflicts in a church, Ray, validate the message that we're talking about here. It is God is doing the inside job on people, and we see that sin, and that's evidence that what he says is true, I think.
In one of his books, I think it's Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the church is the place where all your illusions are finally shattered. And, you know, if you're in the local church long enough, every illusion you have will be shattered, which is a good thing, because then you discover we really all are in desperate need of the grace of God. Mm. We know. And without God, not a single one of us will make it. You know, people say, I want justice, mercy, and want to submit, Lord, and do your work to make me better and pure and clean in your sight.
Even that, to be able to see, you know, that you're not there is a grace of God, I think, working in your heart. All right, let me open the phone lines at 877-548-3675. Your reactions to James 4 today. If you're playing the home game with us today, the Book of James, Home Edition, and you have an observation, you have a question, something that doesn't make sense to you, or something that you see in your own life, and you say, there it is. I see it now. James chapter 4. Just call us at 877-548-3675. 1-877-548-3675. And Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us. You can find out more about him at chrisfabrylive.org, featured resources, an anchor for the soul. Again, you'll find it at chrisfabrylive.org. He is the president of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, and we were talking in the break about this. Okay, I get this. End of chapter 3, he's going through this selfish ambition, this, you know, this the struggle that we all have, that, you know, it goes to the demonic even. He says just evil. And then he says conflicts, and you're waging war, you're lusting, murdering. I'm assuming he doesn't mean physical murder, but you're saying things against people, you know, in your congregation, backbiting, you're envious, so you fight and quarrel. And then he says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. I've heard that taken, lifted right out of there, and, you know, not kept in that context. Why? It almost sounds like James is talking to one person, then and he's turning to another and saying, you know, how do you interpret that?
When you think, if just think in the context of an unhappy church, a church fight, you know, Chris, there's no fight like a church fight. I've been in a few myself over the years. And when Christians get unhappy with each other inside the local church, when things begin to fester and things are being said and emails are flying back and forth, you know, people take sides. It's my side versus that side versus the other side. And one person is for this and one person is for that. In the heat of battle, I think James is saying, you don't even ask for what you ought to ask for. You ought to ask for humility. You ought to ask for more grace. You ought to ask for forgiveness. You ought to ask for healing. But instead, what he's saying is, you're saying, give me victory. I'm doing God's work. This is my side. I don't like this pastor. I want him out. I don't like that youth pastor. I want him out. I want something different to be done in the church. And so James is warning us that we can get so consumed with what we think is right that our prayers, in essence, they basically envy. Envy will so blind us. Anger will so fill us. Selfish ambition will so control us that when we pray, our prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing and hitting us on the head. We're not even really praying at all, because all we want is to see our own desires fulfilled. We're not even praying the most basic prayer, Lord, your will be done. We all say that, but it's hard to pray it in the depth of what it really means.
Jesus said, if you have something against your brother, you don't go in there to give your offering. You go to the brother, right?
That's right. That's right. And basically, the whole point there is, don't go through all the religious rigmarole when you know that there is something in your heart or something, there is some broken relationship, and you could do something about it. Don't just keep going through the religious ritual. Go, and as far as it is within you, go and try to make peace. Now, we know, Chris, we can't always make everything right, but we ought to at least, you know, just set your gift down for a while and go and, you know, lay it down at the altar and go and try to make things right so there can be healing. All I can say is easy to say that in the heat of battle when the bullets are flying, or we should say the emails are flying, you know, and the accusations and the stuff's being said on Twitter and all that. It's really hard. I mean, when the bullets are flying, you want to fire back, especially let's say somebody, maybe it's not at you, but it's somebody you love and respect, and you think they're being unfairly attacked. You know, yeah. You want to get in there and fight for them. And I think the warning is before you pick up your cell phone and say something foolish, go and try to make things right. Get right with God and get right with your brothers if you can. Check your attitude before you hit the send button, or else you're going to post something you're going to regret for a long time to come.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, so then after this, you ask and don't receive. He talks about friendship with the world is hostility toward God, and says, you adulteresses, and again, not necessarily, you're committing adultery, but you're committing spiritual adultery. Friendship with the world is hostility toward God. What's he talking about there?
Well, we don't want this. We just don't want these verses, right? We prefer to get these verses out of here, because when we talk about spiritual adultery, first of all, we're thinking about sexual immorality, which it does count, people. Okay, it does count. And we think it's it's actual murder, taking a gun and shooting somebody. And James is saying this is kind of like the Sermon on the Mount. You've already quoted it, you know, don't murder. But I say to you, if you harbor anger at your brother in your heart, if you say behind his back, you fool, raka, you fool. If you do that, you have murdered him already in your heart, even though you may smile and give him a hug when you see him. But in your heart, you wish he was dead. You are a spiritual adulterer. And I think James is using very strong language to say that God takes these kinds of inner sins, these hidden sins of the heart, they are actually kind of spiritual adultery. They separate us from God. We got to deal with them. It's painful. The good news is, in these verses to follow, if we will wash our hands, if we will come and say, Lord, I'm dirty and I need you to cleanse me, we can be forgiven. You got to draw near to God, and then he will draw near to you. So, yes, can a Christian, I mean, Chris, could you or I, could we become spiritual adulterers? Oh, yeah. And that's a bothersome thought. And you could still be in church and going through all the rituals and yet be spiritually adulterous in the eyes of God because you're harboring anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, some of these deep-seated hidden sins.
Yeah. But there's so much in here with the, you know, submit to God, and then the devil and what's going on with him. So the thing that I like about what James says is he is not afraid to put his finger on the nerve of our sin and our problems, but he's also not afraid to tell you that there is great hope, because God gives grace to the humble. You know, you submit to him, and he will give you that grace. So I want to hear how you're responding to the conversation here today with Dr. Ray Pritchard, 877-548-3675. Jacquiana is in Chicago. Hi, Jacquiana.
Hello.
Glad you called today. What's your comment or question?
I have a comment and a question. My comment is I find myself that I struggle with covetousness and envy. It comes from a place where I feel that I didn't get what I thought I should have gotten, and then I see others that they'll get it, and I might look at them like, well, they didn't even deserve it, and I feel like I may have deserved it more, so that's why I'll have like a little envy or a covetousness, and I have recognized that in myself, and I have like talked to God about it and told him to forgive me, but also to like cleanse me of it. But I struggle with that because I feel like I'll just have it, like it'll just pop up in my mind or just be on my heart. I'll even like dream about it sometimes. So it's almost like a stronghold in my life, and I don't know what to do about it.
Is this something that goes on at work, for example, or is it like in your church or your family, just every day? It happens across the board.
It happens mostly with work, But also it happened like with family, like if I even see something that I feel like they have gotten that I may have felt like I have deserved, and I'll even be happy for them. But in the back of my mind, I'll be thinking like, well, I did this and did that and I didn't get this. So, you know, right. But it's almost like that too. Happy, but at the same time, kind of envious.
Yes. No, I get it. I know exactly where you are because I've been there, and if I'm honest, I'm there. I'm there right now, and so is Ray. What do you say, Ray?
Well, first of all, I really appreciate your honesty and calling because, you know, Chris, she is speaking for everybody, for all of us, but she's the one who had the courage to call and say what we're all thinking, that we see our lives and we go, this should have worked out differently for me. This, you know, I had my plans, Lord, and what's going on here? Let me tell you the one thing that has helped me in times like this in my own life. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for them. I think when you are dealing with the issue of envy, pray for that person who maybe you think, you know, you wish you had gotten what they had gotten. And sometimes when I have really been bothered by this, I've said, Lord, I'm praying you're going to bless them, but I'm praying, Lord, if you have to make a choice, bless them first. And somehow in this, the saying of that, it releases that anger, releases that upsetness. And I'm saying not only does Lord bless them as I want you to bless me, but bless them first. It's my way of saying, Lord, you're in charge. Take care of them first and just come around to me whenever you want to. And that brings peace to my own soul.
Well, but I say the same thing that I said about you and the grace that God has given you to Jacquiana, and that is, it is the grace of God that is pointing this out in her life. Most people don't get to the place where they see the envy, that they know that, oh, I'm thinking this way. So that she has thought this, my feeling is immediately say, thank you, God, that you have put your finger on this nerve here again. Thank you for showing me myself. I'm not as good as I thought I was, but you're at work in me. And so you can turn that negative thing into an opportunity to thank God for what he's doing.
Well, this is exactly what James says in one of these verses. We hardly ever hear sermons on this one. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. And so what she is saying, it's so beautifully said, really, Chris, is just the admission of it, the misery of it, the sadness of it, is an opportunity to say, Lord, I thank you that I may be miserable about this because now I'm in a position, Lord, I'm pretty low here. Now I'm in a position for you in your own way to lift me up. So it's good. It's good to be in that place, especially if it turns your heart to the Lord.
And I wonder if this is not evidencing then that submitting to God, you know, by doing this, as well as resisting the devil by telling the truth about yourself to God and asking his help, you know, that's all a part of the process. Great call, Jacquiana. Thank you very much for calling here today. This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio. This is Chris Fabry Live. One segment left in the program. It always goes by so fast. Thanks for your support of Moody Radio and specifically the Radio Backyard Fence. We depend on you to help us continue on radio and the internet. So if you'd like to join with us, go to our homepage, become a back fence friend or partner. God bless you. Thanks for listening. When we get together on Chris Fabry Live, I like to think that time slows a little and life comes into focus. Strangers become friends. Friends become family. Whether you need encouragement, a listening ear, or you have hope to share, you're welcome. And when you become a Backfence partner, your monthly gift helps keep us going so we can be here for you and maybe a new friend or two. Become a Backfence partner. You'll also get access to exclusive content. Call us at 1-866-95-FABRY or go to chrisfabrylive.org. Coming up tomorrow on Chris Fabry Live, we're going to talk with a couple of guests about bearing fruit in your life. You'll find out more when we get together here at the Radio Backyard Fence. Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us every now and then. And we've been talking about James chapter 4, We've dealt a lot with envy. Toward the end of this chapter, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go such and such city, spend a year there, engage in business, make a profit. You know, that's just the normal planning process of people. What's wrong with that? And then he says, yet you do not know what your life will be tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Boy, he's really making us feel depressed, isn't he?
You know, Chris, it's so true. I mean, what is your life or mine? This thing about the vapor. Well, in the winter up north, you understand, right? It's warm inside and it's cold mm-hmm. outside, and you blow on the window. Remember, as a kid, we would growing up, it went cold in the winter, blow on the window and see who could write their name in there before the vapor disappears, you know? And I could get Ray out, could never get Pritchard out. Yeah, I could never win that game. I mean, that's all. We're here 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. When I teach through the book of James, I have a picture of me leaning up against a gravestone, and under it, it says Pritchard. And it's taken in a cemetery outside of Philadelphia Baptist Church out in the country between New Albany and Oxford, Mississippi. A lot of my family's buried in that cemetery, and that's where on my father's side, my grandfather, my grandmother are buried there. That's their burial place. And I put that picture up to say to the students, you know, I look pretty healthy in that picture, but don't kid yourself, Ray. Where your grandfather is and where your grandmother is, that's where you are going. And if you think anything else, you're just deluding yourself. I don't think James is arguing against making plans. He is saying, just understand, in his heart a man plans his course, but what? It is the Lord who directs his steps. And we ought to say every single day, Lord, here are my plans. If it be your will, this is what I will do today. So it's really just saying, live in the light of the fact you won't be here forever, and don't get so arrogant. You know, you want to make God laugh, said the man, tell him your plans, right? I've tried telling God my plans, and he's just laughed, and his will is going to be done. It's going to be accomplished. It's better to live understanding that we are here for just a brief time. And I say to all of our listeners, what would it take to change your life this afternoon? And, you know, you said this is a downer, but, you know, we're all just one phone call away from catastrophe, one email away, one text away from life can change on a dime. And that's all James is saying. Make your plans, have your goals, but hold them lightly in your hands because they all belong to God anyway.
That's really kind of doing what he said, submit to God. That process is the same thing as submitting to God. You say, here is what you know we think we're going to happen, and what but even in a program like this, in an hour, you know, if we need to change our plan of James 4 is okay, but if you've got some better plan, we'll go with you. If you hold life loosely like that and not tightly, then you're able to move in the direction that he's taken you, right?
I read somewhere the story of Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, who toward the end of his life, this, of course, worldwide, benevolent and caring ministry near the end of his life. Somebody asked him the secret of World Vision. And he said, well, I learned very early in my life to get up every day and say, Lord, I give you the right to change my agenda today. And you don't have to inform me in advance. And I think, you know, Chris, that's a good way to live. Open-handed. These are my plans, Lord. But if you've got something better, if there's a change, and in fact, if you want to take my life in a direction that maybe I don't even want it to go, I don't want to go down that road, Lord, you're God and I'm not. And I give you the right to change my agenda any moment. And you don't have to ask my permission or tell me in advance. Better to live that way than the illusion of thinking we're in control when we are not.
It's interesting to me that verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The times that I felt the closest to God have been the times when I've had no other place to go. You know, there's no other option. God's the only option because it's only, you know, salvation's only in him. or the situation is too big, and I wonder why it takes us the bad times to get in there. The other thing is, you just mentioned the vapor and the the breath. And you brought back a memory of my dad when I was a kid. I got to say this. We're only a couple of minutes before we end here. But he used to take our feet, our bare feet, when we were in bed, and he'd hold them up and he'd go like that. And so when we were kids, my dad would come in, I'd say, "Haw my feet, haw my feet."
Oh, meaning, that's great.
I want you to warm up my toes before I go to sleep here, which is, you know, my dad's under the earth, like you talked about, with your family members. That's where he's gone. And to remember this goes by very quickly can keep you on track in a lot of ways, don't you think?
It's such a good thing to be reminded that it all belongs to God. Your life, your breath, the rest of this day. Folks, hold lightly what you value greatly. It all belongs to God anyway.
Yeah. And if you got a quarrel, a conflict among you, if there is a war waging in your members, look at what he says. Look at what James said. This is so practical. And thanks a lot for going along with the ride with us here at the Radio Backyard Fence. Ray Pritchard, you come back. We've got, I think James has 5 chapters, right? We got one more to go.
We'll do it next month.
I'll do it with you. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Chris.
ChrisFabryLive.org is the website. If you go there, you can see more about Ray, more about Keep Believing Ministries. What a great title. And also, An Anchor for the Soul is our featured resource. Just go to ChrisFabryLive.org. Have some response you want to give us for the program from the conversation you've heard. You can do that. We've got links there. You can hear the broadcast again. You can hear that program that we had last Friday on the chicken story and the and the voicemail we got from the Philippines, and a whole lot more. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at ChrisFabryLive.org. We'll develop a little bit of Fruit of the Spirit tomorrow on the program with our conversation. I hope you'll make it here to Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Global Ministries. Thanks a lot for listening. Well, I hope the program today has encouraged you. We try to make you smile, think more deeply. We challenge you with what God's Word says. And I'm always amazed at the people who contact us with their stories. Reach out online. You can find the contact information, links to Facebook and Twitter, past programs, and more at ChrisFabryLive.org. And consider becoming a Backfence friend or partner. God bless you, and join us next time at the Radio Backyard Fence.